The thing that I think I love the most about Papua New Guinea are the people, but our people are lost. And the felt need of health care opens an amazing door for us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't care what you know until they know that you care. And when they come into the area of our clinic, they immediately feel a difference because the love of Jesus Christ is just permeated through everything that we do. The gospel message is at the beginning of every clinic, and then throughout the day in smaller groups, each person has at least two opportunities to understand the gospel message and to make a decision if they need to receive Jesus Christ. And they're loved and they're given all their medical care for absolutely free. That gives us the opportunity to demonstrate to them what free love really looks like.
Outside, I'm finding sick. I'm come to clinic, lo Segu, AEWE, I'm kissing Marasin. I'm pastor out in talk, I'm turning bell. I'm lot to stop, lo again, I'm got sick yet, I'm lot to stop. Lo, I'm die. Stop outside, okay, me finding one plan man, okay, me. Pai bungim heavy lo Andrew kisim and mikarim Andrew bi bungim bit la heavy mi kisim baby kam lo sister Oli am look out to mem one pla ia so lo Andrew am mi come back and lo to.
We've had over 60 babies in our home. We're foster parents. Some of our babies come to us because their moms are too sick to care for them. Some of the babies come to us because they have HIV/AIDS or they have heart problems that makes it very difficult for them to survive in a village setting. And it's a tremendous opportunity as we have those babies in our home, their families come and they get to see what Christianity really looks like. But through those babies, we've seen families transformed. We've seen our life transformed and churches started as well.
The church planting grows after when they got saved here at the clinic and through the mobile clinics. When we go there, we sleep there, stay with them, and then we share the good news with them, and then we give them medicine when they need. That's always been my dream, to work and help impact the lives of people with medicine and with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Medical care is just such an open door to share Jesus Christ. Our entire vision for the expansion is utilizing our clinic, utilizing our personnel to train Papua New Guineans that already have an education in medicine, equipping them with the gospel message, and that we can send them out with a team to remote areas so that we have a teacher, we have a pastor, we have a medical worker who all work together simultaneously to meet the felt needs of the people in that area, to open their heart doors so that they can understand and receive the gospel of Jesus Christ.
I want Lori to come on up and share the story. It's actually going to fit well with the message this morning. We're going to talk about this morning by grace alone. I wanted to share a story that's been our life. There's many stories. We have some books that will be in the back. Some of them may not be here yet. They're here next week. You can have those too. But my point is, God's doing great things because God's grace is to save us, to live by it, and then to share it with one another. So, dear, why don't you go ahead and share a little bit with it?
I hope when you saw those pictures, you realize the impact you have had in those lives. Lyneth shared her story. Her husband came to our clinic. He had liver cancer. Absolutely nothing that I could do besides palliative care. But he came to Christ. And he died, and he has eternity. But through that one person, God opened an amazing door into his family, his community, Lyneth's life, and then God using challenge and difficulty to open doors for the gospel one of our recent babies we've shared with you. In fact, I really had hoped to bring her with me. I would have loved for you to hold her and actually feel one of the little human beings that you have had a part in her life. Her name is Judy. But Judy Hope, her story started like over 20 years ago. Because, you know, God uses tragedy sometimes to unfold and open the miracle of his grace for us to see. 20 years ago, God brought a baby to our home. Her mom was a young teenage girl, not married. Her biological grandfather was like the most wanted man in our area. He had murdered one of the precious little boys. He was actually a little boy in my Sunday school class, 10 years old. Walking home from school, his uncle murdered him, mutilated him, and discarded his body into a pit toilet. That unleashed civil war, clan against clan, surrounding my house, people shooting and killing each other. It was probably the most difficult period of our entire missionary career. But through that tragedy, God brought a beautiful baby girl. Her name was Lisa. Lisa was born to this young teenage mom. She knew if that baby cried, it would give away her location. And she was a target, as her dad was the greatest of targets. So she just walked away, left her baby literally in the bush. A young couple came upon that baby, not surprised. God was orchestrating. They'd never had a baby. This woman, she craved motherhood so desperately. She'd been to my clinic with infertility issues for such a long time. She literally came upon a cabbage patch baby. Do you remember those? Only this one was real, and she was even more beautiful and perfect than anything you could manufacture. She had no way to feed her baby. She brought her to me, and I had the joy of holding Lisa in my arms for a year. But this young couple, they were so excited to adopt her. Can you imagine? And then finally get that amazing day when they got to take her home. And I mean, she literally had life on a silk pillow. I mean, I thought they would literally wrap bubble wrap around her. I mean, they loved this little girl. They found the most beautiful pink frilly dresses. I have no idea where they found them in Papua New Guinea. She was so loved. I named her Lisa Lewa, because Lisa Lewa means the Lisa of my heart. But God, he did something I didn't understand. You know, God sometimes uses tragedies we can't even comprehend. That's what happened. Less than a week in her new mom's arms, during the night, God took Lisa. It was actually the morning of my daughter's high school graduation party in Papua New Guinea, and I got this note: you need to come. Lisa is dead. I ran to the village. And I walked into their grass hut, and there was Lisa. She was perfect. And I gave her a kiss, and her body was cold. I cannot tell you the agony of my heart when I was given my baby, because I was her mom. And I had to carry her back and put her in a beautiful little dress and put that sweet little doll that she loved the most in her arms and put her in a coffin box. It was made of wood. And when they nailed that coffin box, my heart was nailed forever. I couldn't understand. We were there at her funeral, and that grandfather, I can't even describe him other than he's evil. In his presence, my spirit literally just shook. It was like a Gaddafi, I guess, is the only way I could describe him, dressed in, you know, in camouflage clothes, multiple like automatic weapons on his being, came up and hugged me and said, "You're my daughter." I mean, I literally almost fainted. I was so afraid. And I said, "God, give me words." I was so terrified of this man. And God gave me the grace to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, because no one has done anything beyond what Jesus has already paid for. And he never had 1 minute of even seeing his granddaughter, but he could be with her for eternity if he just believed in Jesus Christ. While he was there at the funeral, I'm so thankful our community respected us as we buried our baby girl that day, because Bill spoke at the funeral, and there was armed men surrounding us expecting an ambush, but God allowed us to bury her in peace. But you know, God's grace was that seed that was put in the ground that almost destroyed my heart. That seed began to sprout and grow, and over 10 years later, That grandfather came back to us. He still is not a believer, but he came to us and he said, I need you to start a church in my village because what you do and what you say are the same. So we used our mobile clinic. We went in, and as you saw pictures of the tents, we bring a MASH unit into remote areas, and we stay a week at a time with them day and night. We treat like 300 or 400 people a day with medical care, but the whole village is saturated with the gospel day and night and day and night. Through that, people get saved. Through that, a church was started in his village of Katagu. But again, I saw, well, maybe that was the purpose of Lisa's death. You know, that gave me just a little glimpse of what maybe God was doing behind the scenes. But until this last year, I didn't fully even realize what God, he had so much more intended. I was at the hospital visiting one of my patients. A little baby boy in remote Baina was born without an anus. It took the mom a week to get to me. Thankfully, I'm connected directly with all the doctors in the hospital. I had the head pediatrician on the phone within minutes. Please prep surgery. His little intestines were beginning to rupture. So here was this mom, a bush mom in the village. She had no idea. She doesn't read or write. Can you imagine? I mean, a colostomy on a newborn is terrifying in America. In Papua New Guinea, right now, we are in medical crisis. We have no IV fluids in our hospital. We have no antibiotics. We have no pain meds. She was a sister of one of the ladies that just got recently saved at our church plant. Her sister is a vibrant witness of Jesus Christ. So I was going in to visit Stephanie, and her sister was there. I brought her one of those audio Bibles that my husband showed this morning in Sunday school, a brilliant tool. This lady couldn't read and write, but she could hear God's word in her own language on a little MP3 player, $25 blessing. And so she started hearing the gospel. But I was there trying to encourage this mom, share Christ, bring her food, and I felt a tap on my shoulder, and I turned around, and here was this woman just looking at me with the oddest expression. And she said, you're my angel. And then she began to tell me her story. Her daughter was from that village, Katagu, where we had started that church plant. When we went there with our mobile clinic, we identified a huge colony of HIV-positive people. Please pray for my country. We're having an HIV epidemic right now. It is exploding. Our clinic, we are finding HIV cases like every day. And if you're aware of HIV, it is immunosuppressive disease, so we're also seeing tuberculosis, pneumonias. It is unleashing a hurricane on an already broken medical system that has no medicine. But this young girl was single. She was pregnant. She was so sick and so weak, she couldn't go for prenatal care. We test every mom in our prenatal clinics because so many are HIV positive. If we can reduce the viral load, it gives a much better outcome for the baby. She had no care. At labor ward, in premature labor, they discovered she was not just HIV positive, she had AIDS. She delivered her beautiful premature daughter, who also has chromosomal issues. We don't really know the syndrome. That was one of the reasons I had hoped to bring her here, is for us to identify what's going on inside of her body. But God allowed that little baby to be born. There's no higher risk for a baby being born and being exposed to HIV than my Judy was exposed to. Her mom, 4 days after birth, died from AIDS. So this dear woman buried her daughter, came back to the hospital, and had a premature, syndromatic, HIV symptomatic infant that now was her guardian. She's a widow. If you can imagine that, you remember the book, The Three Little Pigs? We all read that book. We saw the little pictures in it. You know, the house of straw? That's what this dear woman was living in. It was a rubbish house of straw. Widow alone, no hope. And she prayed that morning, God, if you're real, send me someone to help me. And here walks this white woman and sits down right literally a foot away from her. And I explained to her that God sent me because I have a baby ministry. And I would be so honored to help her with her little baby, Judy, named after her mom. But I added hope. Because there's hope in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can't fix most of what comes through my clinic door. We don't have medicine. We don't have supplies. A lot of the people come in with illnesses that are just breast cancer. Any kind of cancer is a death sentence. HIV/AIDS right now is a death sentence because our medication is nowhere near enough to help people survive with it. But I held baby Judy in my arms, and she was a precious angel. I loved and kissed and cuddled her every single day. And I watched this very sick, very weak, abnormally formed little infant bloom. My book, Miracles of Grace, unfolding one baby of a time was witnessed in that child's life, because every week her grandmother came to my home and I shared Jesus Christ with her. We had Bible studies. When I go to speak at ladies' conferences, I make the moms of these babies come with me because I'm busy speaking. They need to help me care for their baby, and they hear the gospel, right? It's a tool. It's a tool that God is using. Her grandmother, Negan, her life was exploded with the dynamite of the gospel. I love how Apostle Paul puts it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. That power is where we get our word dynamite. That's what the gospel does, isn't it? Her life is not the same. She would come to my house every day exploding her new understanding of the gospel. She started attending the church that God planted through the death of my baby, Lisa. Right before we came, I was able to transition my beautiful Judy Hope to her grandmother's care. God did something, y'all, as we prayed for that baby. Number one, God met her grandma at her time of need. That house of straw is now a strong, sturdy, safe, clean house God enabled us to build for her, with a community that stood literally with their mouths aghast, looking, why would you help this woman? God was glorified, and God is beginning to do a work in her neighbors now, too. They're seeing what happens when God becomes her daddy and her husband. Miracles of grace through tragedy. But something else has happened, and I can't explain it medically. But when Judy Hope became 1 year old, her body started to change. Chronic sores and chronic illnesses began to run away. Her little deformed foot began to hold her body weight, and she started to walk. I didn't think she could walk. But her HIV test started to be showing non-reactive. I go back and I do her last blood test. I don't know how God did it. I believe he healed our baby. We have a God of miracles, but you're a part of that because we pray and we ask, and God does. God wants us to ask him, and he answers our prayers. I wish you could hold her, but someday I believe that you will, because my Judy Hope is going to go to church in the church that my beautiful Lisa died to see planted. God is so graceful and so loving. Thank you for your part. I hope you can get a book and read those stories that you have had a part in. I hope you feel the part that you have in our ministry in Papua New Guinea because of you and because of all of us working together. We are seeing God explode. When I come to Papua, I didn't realize my beautiful Robbie is very sick. Please ask me afterwards if you want more details. We shared in Sunday school. The beautiful young woman that I was holding, my partner, my right hand, my right heart, my half heart. God has allowed her to have a brain tumor right now, and it's just since I've been back. We have no idea what's happening. Please pray for Robbie. Her heart, she wants to share the gospel through medicine. Maybe her testimony now in the hospital as being a patient is going to be even a greater testimony as being a practitioner. I don't know. But you have such a huge part. You are a part of everything that we do, and we are so thankful for you. Please feel your presence there through us. We are the honored ones. We see both sides. But each time I come, our people in tears say, tell them thank you for sending you, because you give us hope. We don't just give them hope in medicine, because medicine wears off. We give them eternal hope through Jesus Christ. Thanks for your part. Thanks for your part in Judy's life. I believe you'll hold Judy one day, because I know she's going to come to Christ. Her grandmother is on fire. Thank you for that.
I always ask my wife to share the story because she's the storyteller. They can tell what God is doing But you know, God allows us to work together, but it's because of God's grace. Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, lest any man, not of works, lest any man should boast." We understand that God has done a miracle. The fact that we are here this morning, the fact that we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, is not something that we can do. It's something that God alone has done. Over 500 years ago, there was a priest in Germany. His name was Martin Luther. And he wrote a song, "By Grace Alone," based on Psalm 130. If you have your Bibles, you could look at that if you like. But Psalm 130, Martin Luther was, this is about 1516, 1517, maybe a little before that. But this is before the beginning of the Protestant Reformation that took place in 1517, when he nailed his 95 theses to his church door there. But he was struggling between what the church taught and what the Bible taught. And he was going through, if you look at his writings, and I have the privilege of teaching church history at the Bible College from time to time, and I've had the privilege of studying about him and the role he played in our church history. But he had five big things that were basically based in Latin, but it was solo, sola scriptura, only of Scripture, sola Christa, only of Christ, sola fide, only by faith, sola de gloria, only to the glory of God, and the one we're going to focus on this morning, sola gratia, only by grace, or grace alone. God was impressing upon him that there's nothing we can do about it. There's nothing that in my strength or your strength that we can earn the merit of God. It's by God's grace. God's given Lori and I the privilege of serving in Papua New Guinea for 35 years. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for my parents that went there years ago in 1973, and I grew up there, and God gave me the privilege to see that. I saw how much I had being as an American and being blessed in the family that I had compared to what many of them had. But it also gave me the responsibility that, hey, God called me to be back there, not to give them material wealth, not to give them American education, but to give them a chance to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel, when God demonstrates his grace, sometimes it's not easy. In fact, often it is not. When my parents went to Bible school, my younger brother passed away with something called Reye syndrome, 5 years old, as a result of mom giving us children's aspirin back in the day when you had a fever, before the ages of Tylenol existed. 1987, my mother was killed in a car accident over there. The Goodwin family had a big, big part in the ministry of ministering to my family. And when you look at the difficulties that come in our lives, whether personally or the people around us, we go, "Why, God?" To this day, I still would say, "Why, God, about my brother? Why, God, about my mother? Why did that happen?" The answer is, I don't know. And I may never know. But God has his way of taking things, and over time, even though they're painful and even though they're difficult, that by God's grace, he gets it through that. My life verse is in 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you. I don't understand that. There's nothing I can give you or you can give me to help make the difference. But only God by grace alone. Lori shared a story of little Judy Hope. We did not understand that. To be honest, the difficulties that we see, and with Robbie now, and Pastor Rex was our clinic evangelist that died of a heart attack, left clinic Monday and went back home and said, Lori said, "Thank you for doing it," and said, "To the glory of God," a few hours later, he was gone. And we said, "Why?" But through God's grace, we see God enable us to go from day to day, moment to moment. In Psalm 130, Martin Luther wrote this song. It's a very old song. I think most of Martin Luther's music we do not sing today, except maybe A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, or maybe something like that. But let me read Psalm 130. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, should mark my iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Whether back in the Old Testament, or whether in the New Testament, or whether at the time of Martin Luther, or whether at the time that we live in today in 2025, our world is different. But the gospel is still the same. The grace of God, even though we may never understand it, and I would say on this side of heaven, we'll never understand it completely. We see God be there. Back in November, I got on an airplane, and I came here as my first stop. This time it's our last stop. I stood in front of you and spoke that morning. The funeral for Pastor Rex was just the day before my speaking, because I was not there for it. I was here, standing right here. And I told you, I do not understand why God allowed that. He was our key evangelist. God used him. I was a broken person. I still am. When you see difficulty, and I know you as a church, and I know go through it in many different ways, as a church body, as individuals, you go through that, and it's only God's grace that makes a difference. This morning, I want to take a few moments, and I can barely touch the surface of this, but this has been a challenge in my life, and I look at difficulties, and I look at things and go, why? Because why is so hard to understand. We see, first of all, God's grace is unmerited favor. I'm going to give you five basic things and wrap it up. But God's grace is not something we can earn. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, the Bible says God gave grace upon Noah. You look at the world at that time, and nobody was serving God except Noah and his family. And God demonstrated grace on Noah, his wife, his children, his three boys, and their wives. Eight people were spared as God destroyed the world in a flood to restart all over again. God demonstrated grace. I look at Noah, a man of faith, Hebrews chapter 11. You see his wife. I see the boys. I think, to be honest with you, I think of their wives. After all, they had families. Noah's sons, mom and dad, were on the ark. But those women, their parents were not on the ark. I'm assuming they're normal people, because they probably were. But they had to say goodbye to their families, and they never understood. All those years of building the ark, nobody listens. Even the in-laws. And they perish. And I think of those dear women that were on there. Maybe Mrs. Noah, if her family was still alive. Only by God's grace enabled them to do that. God showed grace. God's grace is also, number two, pays our debt of sin. God's grace pays in full, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice the wage is what you earn. You get death. I doubt any of you that are wage earners that you earn something, you're getting the death penalty for working. You might think that, but you're probably not. But a pay that is death. You work hard, you work hard, you live in sin, and all you're going to get is death from it. Not a very good wage. But the gift of God, a gift, is a demonstration of grace. When someone gives a gift to someone else with no expectation of return, that is grace. You see, the word grace is when God gives us things we do, the gifts that we don't deserve them. He just gives us generously. He gives it to us. Mercy is withholding the bad stuff that we do deserve. So God's mercy and God's grace are literally two sides of the same coin. God withholds punishment that we deserve, but gives us grace in replacement of it. Something is people. In Papua New Guinea, where we live, in the local language, they do not have the word for thank you. Because you never give something without expectation of return. One of the girls that our kids grew up with, it was graduation time, and her family came and going to have a big feast congratulating her for graduating from high school. And she came to Lori and said, "Mama, this is terrible. This is terrible." Lori's like, "Why? What's so bad about this? They're honoring you." "No, no, no. They're going to kill these pigs. They're going to do all this stuff. And they're going to expect me to pay it back later." And they did. You don't give anything without expectation. Our daughter, Becky, when she was a little girl, a man in our area came and gave us some bananas and papaya, pineapple as a gift. And we were foolish enough to take it. But anyways, he gave it as a gift. We took it. Well, then when Becky became grown in college and her fiance came to visit, we had asked all the young men that were marrying our daughters to come visit us so they could see our girls did not grow up in America. They're American, but they're not American. They think differently. So John came over to visit. This guy shows up. "Hi, I'm Becky's father." Of course, John looks at me like, what's going on here? "Well, years ago, I gave her bananas and pawpaw," and or they call it pawpaw, bananas and papaya and pineapple. "And, you know, I need a roof on my house." That's the most expensive fruit I've ever seen in my lifetime. But that was an expectation. I did that. 18 years later, he's expecting something in return. So John says, "Well, what do? I said, "Absolutely nothing." Don't start that, because everyone who's ever given fruit to our family are going to want something out of you. And so, but John's like, "That's crazy." I said, "Yeah, it's crazy." Do everything with expectation. You earn it. You deserve it, or you con your way into it. But that's not God's grace. God's grace is freely given. You can't work for it. That's why the clinic, some have said, "Why don't you charge the money?" Number one, we probably never get it. But number two, and most importantly, we want to show God's grace. Hey, it's free. You can't buy it, because this is a demonstration of God's grace. God's grace is unmerited favor. He gave it to Noah. God's grace pays our sin debt. Number three, God's grace cannot be earned. We've seen that in Ephesians 2, 8, 9. Also in Romans chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. "Even so, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it be no more of grace. Otherwise, work is no more work." There's a difference. If you come and work for me, we have about 25 to 30 people work for us at the clinic, the baby ministry, other things. They get a wage. Minimum wage there is a lot lower than it is here. But I give them a fair wage, quite a bit higher than what that is. But they work hard. I'm glad to give them pay for what they did. But God doesn't do it that way. We cannot earn it. We have a religious group in our area that says obeying the law, going to church on the Sabbath day, is the answer. No, it's not. Even coming to church here, if you think for some reason this morning that because you come to church, therefore you are going to heaven, I don't want to disappoint you, but I am. You're not going to heaven because you came to church. Well, my mom and dad were always, mom and dad might be going to heaven, but you're not just because you're their child. It's a personal relationship with the Lord. It's a personal, grace is, cannot be earned. I skipped number three, sorry. God's grace is through Jesus Christ alone, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's through Jesus Christ. And the last one is, God's grace is for everyone. God's grace is inclusive. It's for everyone. In John chapter 1, verse 29, John the Baptist is saying, behold, the Lamb of God, which will take away the sins of the world, not Israel, not just those people there, of the world, both past, present, future. God's grace is given. But summing all that up, what does that mean for us? I think there are three points that I would sum this up this morning in this way. We need to receive His grace. We need to live by His grace. And then we also need to share His grace. And that's what I want to look at for the last couple of minutes here. If you're here this morning and you've not received Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's the first place. Grace has been given. Grace, grace, God's grace. Greater than all our sin. It's there. You say, hey, I got to do this and I got to do that. No, you don't. A man came to me one time and said, Bill, I want you to baptize me. I want to make sure I got all the kinds of baptism so when I get to heaven, I'll pull out of my pocket the right certificate. There's a lot of problems with that theology. Your pocket doesn't go with you. A piece of paper. They're paperless in heaven. And it won't be Wi-Fi or apps and all that stuff either. But this man had it all wrong. And I didn't do it. Well, I'll find somebody who will. Like, I hope you don't. Till you find Jesus Christ. He paid it all. It is finished. So if you need to receive Jesus Christ, do that. And I'm sure someone here could help you today. Myself, others, I'm sure many of us could. But also, it's to live by grace. In the years of ministry there, I have to be honest with you, some days Lori and I are exhausted. And people ask, how in the world do you not be exhausted? The babies and all the other things. And we are. But when we see God's grace there, it somehow invigorates us to be able to keep going. But then if we get sidetracked and get maybe going down this path or that path or getting worried about this or that, sometimes we lose our joy. We get discouraged. You might say, well, they don't sound like they ever get discouraged. Are we fooling you? Not intentionally, but that's, hey, reality is hard. Reality for you is hard. You are facing things I have no idea what it's like. But God's grace is there for you. God's grace is for us. As we go back and we may face things, and we're facing huge difficulties. Lori shared this morning in Sunday school. We're like the big kids jumping in the deep end, took our floaties off, and the waves are huge. But God is there in the waves. And He sustains us. And sometimes we get things in our lives that we've never faced before. We go, wow, but God's grace, call out to Him. Sometimes we think it's not spiritual to need grace. Oh, it's very spiritual. God, I don't understand. God knows our frame. God knows what we're feeling. God knows, and cry out to Him and beg God for grace. We live by that day by day. You know, when things are going well, it's pretty easy. Okay, but then when things get bad, But the same God that is in the calm seas is the same one that's in the waves. And He's there. Sometimes God spares us from the waves, and then sometimes He doesn't. And I pray that God's grace, you can live by that. It's not time to walk away. I get discouraged in Papua New Guinea. Some of our Christian people, when something bad happens to them, well, I have to leave church for a while. I got to go back to this or go back to that. They go back maybe their traditional ways, the witchcraft, the other ways. They got to go back to that. And I'm like, no. This is the time you don't leave. But God's grace is there to live by. But then it's also, we are to receive God's grace. We are to live by God's grace, but we also need to share it. This is a mission emphasis type week. You know, the mission around the world, we represent part of that. But it's also your neighborhood. It's also the people sitting next to you. Showing God's grace, the Bible says, we are to do good, especially to those of the household of faith. Sometimes we see the idea of giving the gospel to the lost. And that's very a big part. But sometimes reminding one another of God's grace and being a tool of God's grace when it's appropriate is what God wants to do. Sometimes it's us ministering to one another. I was in a church, or I should say, my parents were in a church years and years ago. In fact, it was a church that my parents were married in. A small little country church in Pennsylvania. And it was a good church. I mean, through that, my grandparents, my dad's one out of 13 children, came to know the Lord there. A lot of family in that church, even to this day. You know, the pastor one time said, well, you know, we're not planning on dropping your support, but if I did, your whole family would let me have it. Most of his deacons and elders are my cousins. And he married one of them, a distant one. So it was like, okay. So he said, your family, you know, but you know, in that church, for a number of years ago, they were so focused on reaching people for Christ. And that's good. A lot of evangelism, a lot of people were getting saved. But the church went through a period of time where it was so focused on reaching others that they forgot that in the family, we need to be reaching and helping each other. God's grace is not just to go out to the lost, and that's a big part. But the ministry of missions is also building the body of Christ. If you look in Matthew 20, 18, 19, and 20, it's to give the gospel, but it's to teach and disciple and to build one another up. May I challenge you as you start September in a few hours, exactly 12 hours and 8 minutes from now, you're going to go into the fall. Yes, reach the lost around you. Reach the people around the world. We're grateful for the partnership. But could you take this time in your church and the Christians that you know to take and ask God every morning, God, help me to demonstrate your grace. Will you allow me to be a tool of your grace to someone in the body of Christ? We as missionaries, we go to reach people for Christ. But our ministry is not just that. We have believers that need help. In fact, we need other missionaries. One of my roles on our field is our field team leader. I've been that for 25 years, basically. Sometimes the greatest need I need to be involved with is to go to someone who's also struggling to reach people for Christ, and they need a help up. Not a critical one, not evaluating them, not trying to do this or do that. But hey, if you want it, I'm here to help you. No judgment. Hey, help you out. I pastored a church that now has a national pastor. We had a situation, I won't go into a lot of the details, but where we had some people in our church that made some bad mistakes spiritually. And people in the church were like, well, we need to do this and discipline this. And yet as I talked to them as their pastor, they were broken. And they came and said, hey, we committed sin, we did wrong, but we want to be right with God. And I said, look, we need people in this church to come up and figuratively and maybe literally put your arms around them and say, God loves you, I love you, and God's grace is there, and I will be a tool of God's grace. This morning, it may start with us being on our knees. God, Help us to be a tool of your grace. We need to receive God's grace. We need to live it for ourselves. And then we have to turn around and demonstrate it and share it. It's not our grace that we're giving. We're giving God's grace. Sola gratia. Martin Luther said, grace alone. We only survive because God's grace. We only live because of God's grace. Therefore, we need to demonstrate God's grace. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this is a deep subject that, to be honest, I didn't even scratch the surface of it. But God, convict us that we will demonstrate God's grace. Lord, help us to live by it. It's hard sometimes. It's very difficult. But in the dark clouds of our lives, in the difficulties, will you allow the sunshine of your grace that we can see a glimpse of it? We may never understand all of it, but will you show yourself to us? And then, Lord, help us to be tools of showing your grace to others. Lord, encourage those of us this morning that need encouragement. You know the hearts of everyone listening. God, encourage us. Lord, of those of us that are failing, that we need to be convicted of it, help us to work there too. And Lord, you make the difference there. And Lord, if there's someone here this morning that has not received Jesus Christ, may today be that day. Your word have free course in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.